AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Jam-packed day today, jam-packed week this week. Tomorrow, Schechter, Democrat of the Day. Friday, Michael Broadcorp, Democrat of the Day as well. And today, we got Stein coming up here at about 3:30. Brett here joining us today. You know, Brett, is so far, there is a situation I have yet to run into with the Democrat of the Day. Now, we don't have a Democrat of the Day today. Because, you know, some people just don't get back in touch with them, and they're micro-focused on what their own race, and so some guy from Minneapolis, St. Paul calls in, they I don't have time for that. And that's okay, that's fine. But in past election cycles, there have been DFL candidates which I don't think are actual real candidates. And I think in this time around, there's only one candidate I've actually got some real legitimate questions about in regards to whether or not he's a legit Democratic candidate. But in the past, what's happened is I will call someone who is running against another candidate. I'll give you a great example of this. There was a guy down here in Eden Prairie running against Jennifer Loon. His name was Sherlock was his last name. And I tried desperately to try to get him on the air in 2016 as a Democrat of the Day. When I finally got his dad at home, the dad's like, "Hello, I'm Matt McNeil. I'm trying to track down this guy, here at this phone number to be my Democrat of the Day, doing an interview. He's not here. He's gone back to college." "What? He's gone back to college. Well, isn't he running for a House seat?" "I don't know. I think he is." And you're like, okay, wait a minute. How in the world is this even possible? Now, remember, a few years back, Republicans ran a fake Democratic candidate in the Democratic primaries in South Carolina. And that guy ended up winning. And then it was all of a sudden, who is this guy? And this guy was basically forced by the Republicans to pretend to be the Democratic candidate, and he had no idea what he was supposed to do. I'm really here running. I'm taking this seriously. It exposed the fact that this is a tactic. Now, I can't say for sure whether that guy was a legit candidate or not. I can't believe he's running his campaign like that. And would it be beyond reasonable expectation that a Republican ran a friend's kid or something like that in a Democratic primary and they ended up winning to basically take off the competition? Of course it's possible. Absolutely. You know, they try to make sure this stuff is legit, and they ask questions. You mean you're a serious candidate? You want to take this seriously? Yep. But you don't know. And it has been interesting because the last time around, there's at least five or six candidates. I'm like, is this a real candidate? How in the world is this person a real candidate? It didn't make any sense. And this time around, there's only one I've got some suspicions about, but the rest of them so far seem to be pretty intent on that.
And that's why you need to be involved in politics, especially at the local level, where you can run into that in these state house districts where nobody's running, and it is easy to put up, "I'll just put my friend's kid in there to sabotage the race."
Yeah, and really, if you think about it, it's a minimal investment by an incumbent to basically, "I'll throw a few thousand dollars around from my own, you know, I'll make a donation to this person through back channels, a few thousand bucks, get them, you know, on the ticket. All of a sudden, their signs are up. All of a sudden, they're there. And next thing you know, you don't have anything to worry about because the kid's going back to college." Really? And okay, you know, the election's coming up here. Didn't know about that. The one thing that's very encouraging this time around is that there are a few seats where Republicans have run unchallenged, and I've been trying to get a few of those Democrats on board. And I think to a point, some of them get a little scared because it's like the progressive station, like, we're going to make you become a hipster and drink a soy latte while, screaming about choice and getting your pink Me Too hat on the air and being the most liberal. You have to wear your hemp jeans and basically anything but organic we better basically take all the money and give it back to every, from the wealthy people and just give it to all poor people. That's where, they get kind of scared.
George Soros will screen them as well.
Oh, but, you know, George told me. I mean, nothing. Why? What? Anyway. No, but they kind of get a little concerned that we are, you know, that's the case. And I get that. I will say this. Considering the radio stations you are trying to get on the air in your rural district, I can guarantee you at least you'll have friendly territory here. I'm not exactly looking to break you. All right. I'm not looking. I mean, it was funny. A friend of mine sent me, and this was not in Minnesota, it was in Nebraska, a tape of the two candidates, a Republican candidate getting interviewed, and then the Democratic candidate getting interviewed the next day. And the tone of each interview was just a smidge different. That, you know, just like, why do you hate America? It's like, I don't hate America. Why are you saying this? You know, it's a friendly confines. But so far, like I said, no Democrat of the day today, but we do have one tomorrow. We do want to have one on Friday. I think I've got three already lined up for next week, and we're going to go bang for the buck. The most important races as we head down towards November, that will be coming up here before too long. 952-946-6205. I did want to address, there are conservatives who are coming after me, who are saying, look at Matt McNeil, Mr. Inconsistent. He's demanding Brett Kavanaugh resign and withdraw his name. But has he said anything about Keith Ellison? Now, first of all, I have been very consistent, okay? The ones who are not consistent are the right. And I'll give you a great example of that. Al Franken... The demands by Republicans for him to resign on the allegations, which, by the way, one, weren't nearly as severe as the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh, including the ones that came out today. And two, for a Supreme Court seat, which is actually a more important seat than a Senate seat. But the amount of Republicans who demanded, just at the mere allegation, that Al Franken had done anything, that he had to resign, but are insisting that you just vote on Kavanaugh. Just why are these Democrats so wrong? That's you guys. That's your inconsistency. I actually called for an investigation. If these allegations are there, there is a process in the Senate for an allegation to come forward. And the reality is, I think that this was all a setup on Franken because the Republicans and the people that were behind the Republicans didn't want him to even get into that situation. They wanted him to resign. And they even, you know, and by the way, you want a sign of the media bias in this country. Do you remember when Franken was out there? Cameras were everywhere finding every Democrat saying, should you resign now? Should you resign now? When was the last time you saw anyone outside of the Senate Judiciary Committee on the Republican side get asked about Brett Kavanaugh? Should he resign? Should he withdraw? Do you think he should go now? Bias. Tell me there's not a little bias. I mean, governor candidates were being asked about Al Franken, but now all of a sudden it's Brett Kavanaugh, and all of a sudden media can't seem to find any Republicans to talk to about that. I said there should be an investigation. And there's a process in the Senate. They didn't want him to even go through that, and they basically got the Democrats to browbeat down Franken enough to where he resigned. Now, I'm not saying the allegations against him were false. I'm just saying there was a process. There should be an investigation. Same thing about Keith Ellison. I think I've been very clear here. I was very clear in the days before the primary that you can't throw this kind of bomb out there and expect there not to have some repercussions, that you have to have a full investigation into this. And I have been very clear, Brett, I think you've been here many days where I have said that if these allegations are legit against Ellison, well, that's a big problem for the DFL. Have I been consistent on that level?
Yeah, said that multiple times.
Absolutely. Brett Kavanaugh, we have a process in place to investigate all of this. It's called a confirmation hearing. And in case you haven't paid attention, the Republicans have made a mockery out of this. And I'll get into that a lot with Stein coming up here in a little bit. But they've made a mockery of this process. They don't want a thorough vetting of Brett Kavanaugh. They've hid most of his paperwork. And with these allegations that have come forward, they aren't exactly eager to talk to any of the three women who have accused him of this type of behavior. And as a matter of fact, the argument, once again, I've said that these are people floating around that what happened in high school, that you could violently rape a person, I guess, in high school, and if it was 35 years, well, that's perfectly okay. Because isn't that what happens to all girls in high school that get violently raped? Ah, come on, Republicans, right? Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what the hell's wrong with you people. But you'd think you would want to have a slight investigation into this, considering the nature of the position that this guy is going to hold. So I have been consistent. I have asked for an investigation into Al Franken. Ta-da! Into Keith Ellison. Ta-da! And into Brett Kavanaugh. Ta-da-da-da! There you are. What's inconsistent are the Republicans who, when there's an allegation, demand that that person, no investigation, they need to withdraw immediately. But when it's one of their guys under investigation, basically it's, vote now! This is unfair! They're all lying harlots! They were in high school! They deserved it in high school! They were drunks! They all deserved it! Just vote for Kavanaugh! I mean, that's who you guys are. So, before you come at me and claim my argument is inconsistent, clean yourself up, okay? And if I can go, and I'll tell you right now, conservatives, if I can go out on your timeline, and I've already done this about 3 or 4 times in the last 24 hours, and I can find a Al Franken should not have an investigation. He should resign immediately on your timeline. The first question I'm going to say is, considering these Kavanaugh allegations are far more serious than the allegations that were thrown at Franken, and considering the Supreme Court is a far higher seat than a Senate seat, where is your condemnation and demand that Kavanaugh step aside? But that's when all of a sudden you get the Republicans, at least the Republicans that will respond to you will say, I've always been against these kind of people that pull these kind of acts. Okay, well then condemn Kavanaugh. Al Franken. No. Kavanaugh. Franken. Kavanaugh. You can say it. Kavanaugh. Ellison. Kavanaugh. I've always been against all of these people. You know, they can't do it. They just can't do it. And so, you know, don't interpret the fact that because I'm not ignoring Kavanaugh and only focusing on a Republican standard for Democrats on this show, that I'm being inconsistent. Absolutely not. And matter of fact, most Democrats I know are being very consistent about this. It's you're the ones that are basically sitting there and look for the R or D next to their name to determine your bipolar outrage as it goes. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. Minneapolis voting on the homeless shelter, as well as also a sad case out of the VA in Minneapolis. We'll talk about that before Stein. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Big
up, put them aside. What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Array Insurance Companies.
Summer's over and the kids are back in school. That means you can call Zero Res to clean up all the dirt your family dragged in from the outside. Their patented powered water will clean up the toughest messes and won't leave behind any smelly dirt-attracting residue. I even had them clean up a mess earlier this summer from a few nameless friends who got a little clumsy with the wings and barbecue sauce. Just call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. 3-room Zero Resified starting at $149. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
As we head into fall, get your vehicle service done at Rudy Luther Toyota. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. Routine maintenance or a larger repair, easily schedule your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. That's RudyLutherToyota.com. They're fast, courteous, and they get the job done right. And considering my schedule, I trust them. Get your vehicle ready for the cooler weather with a trip to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Should mention U.S. Representative Keith Ellison on Wednesday has asked the House Ethics Committee to investigate his former girlfriend's allegation that he physically abused her. I'm taking this step now because I'm innocent and eager to see this matter resolved. Ellison, the Democratic candidate for Minnesota Attorney General, said in a statement, Ellison has repeatedly denied the abuse allegation by his former girlfriend, Karen Monahan. She has said she was emotionally abusive relationship with Congressman, and during a fight in 2016, he screamed obscenities while dragging her off a bed by her legs and feet. The allegations have lingered in the public sphere. The DFL has hired attorney Susan Ellingston to conduct a separate investigation. Ellingston is a partner at the firm where attorney Charles Nanu, who represents the DFL, works. DFL Chairman Ken Martin said on Tuesday the investigation will be finished or closed and the information would be released soon. So Ellison's calling for the House to investigate him, which basically would be the body which would oversee this at this point, the U.S. House, because he is still a sitting U.S. House member. So. Whether or not, I mean, my guess is that they're, you know, if you ask for it, they're going to do it because I don't think that the House Republicans are going to pass up an opportunity to investigate Keith Ellison. So, you know, and I would say this, if you know you're guilty of something, that's a really dumb thing to do if that's the case. So we'll have to see how it goes. Once again, though, let the investigation happen. Let the investigation happen. And we should have a full investigation of Brett Kavanaugh, too.
When has he called for a full investigation of himself?
Kavanaugh?
Have you recalled? Yeah, yeah. Have you recalled?
No, he's insisted. He actually made the point. Was
I don't
it
think he
weeks?
Has called for one, has he?
About 3 weeks ago, he said when he was being interviewed in the Senate, 2 weeks ago, he said that the amount of paperwork released on him, even though it's a mere fraction of all the work that he's done, is enough to get an idea of who he is. And to which immediately the person says, that's like basically giving someone an encyclopedia and saying, here's A, and you don't see need to receive B through Z. So, I mean, seriously. So he's going along with it. And let's put it this way. That yearbook caption that was in there, that's pretty slimy. And the fact that he is now insisting that captions on his own yearbook picture, he has no idea what those are. Sure you don't. All of these allegations, by the way, are not just out of the blue. These are allegations that have been out there for years and have been corroborated by multiple people. So, a veteran died by suicide at the Minneapolis Veterans Medical Center parking lot in February, less than 24 hours after being discharged from the mental health unit. Now a federal agency has cited the hospital for numerous failures in the case, including not adequately documenting the patient's access to firearms. The report by the VA Office of Inspector General is deeply disturbing, said Representative Tim Walz, running for governor, a ranking member of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, who requested the review. This is profoundly unacceptable. He said in a written statement, our work to hold VA accountable is far from over. The House Veterans Affairs Committee is holding a suicide prevention hearing this Thursday, and this tragic systemic failure will be central to our focus. The Minneapolis VA said Tuesday it's implementing the report's recommendations and reviewing how it identified suicide risk before discharge. It's also reviewing ways to minimize gaps in the delivery of care. Wall said in an outrage that the Minneapolis VA failed to follow some of the recommendations made by the inspector general in 2012. The report, initiated by that office in March, cited a number of failures by the staff of the inpatient medical health unit. It also cited several failures of the system's suicide prevention coordinator. While the VA was cited for these failures, the investigation team was unable to determine that any one issue or some combination caused the patient's death. The report notes the rate of suicide by veterans exceeds that of U.S. civilian adult males, 37.2 per 100,000 for veterans, compared to 25.0 for 100,000 per civilian adult males. In 2014, a number of veterans' deaths by suicide averaged 20 a day, according to Veterans Health Administration. This is obviously as a veteran myself, U.S. Army, this is a recurring tragedy, which, and I, one of the truth is, one of the reasons I really like Tim Walz, and I'm going to vote 100% for him for governor, is because he has had a strong veterans stance. He is one of the handful of politicians I've ever interviewed over the entire existence of my radio career who I have said, at least that guy's got the veterans' best interests at heart. Tim Walz will be the first one, and I believe he actually was on this show one time and said, this is a few years back, but said very straightforward, one of the biggest problems we have is that we expect this VA to do as much as we can, and we're not funding it correctly. And that is a large part of this problem. This goes beyond any one administration. I have said for many years, Democrat, Republican presidents, the VA is an afterthought. We are always there, rah, 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 when it's time to send people into combat, people into harm's way. We are there patting them on the back saying good luck, and we do nothing for these people when they return. I have been very straightforward about that, this is not one administration. And you see, the problem is it's become a political hot potato. That when Republicans are in the White House, Democrats scream about, we need to do more for the VA. When Democrats are in the White House, Republicans then scream, we needed to do more for the VA. It's never about actually doing more for the VA. It's basically about wagging their finger at the opposition and saying, you need to do more. Now, granted, I don't ever remember any president prior to Obama chewing out a war widow like Trump did. Wow, that was pretty disgusting. That being said, We do not give the treatment these people need. And I have been very straightforward. There's a few things I think we should absolutely do. Four things every time. First of all, when it comes to medical care, I think it should be a law in this country that a veteran, if they have their veteran ID card, can walk into any medical facility in the country and get treated. Not just a VA center, but if they want to walk into Fairview Southdale, U of M, they want to go over to Park Nicollet, they want to go to the Methodist hospitals, they can go anywhere. That if you want a medical operation license, you have to see veterans at veterans rates, and if you turn them away, we will strip you of your license. That way, a veteran who is having mental issues can go and see a psychologist and go get the mental health care that they need without having to be on a laundry list or have to hope that a bed stays open. That is number one. Number two, any college, any state college, that a veteran should be able to go there after they're done with their term of service and go to college for free. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily the room and board. I'm talking about actual admissions, the cost of the classes and stuff. They should be able to do that. And then the federal government, through the GI, the GI loan, through the education programs that they've got, would cover the rest of the cost, and they can get a college degree after they get back. And I guarantee you this: you'd never have a military, you know, numbers problem again if there was a free college degree after you got done with your service. Number three, there should be job placement and job training for all military veterans. Number four, regardless of whether that's a returned soldier or the weeping and grieving family of a soldier who we have lost in combat, if they are promised benefits, do not make them jump through hoops. Do not make them go over hurdles. Make sure the benefits that they have earned that are delivered as they are needed. You got my vote. I don't care what party you are. You do. If you champion those four things, I'll vote for you every time. Those four things. Medical care anywhere in the country. Free college at any state college. Free job training and job placement after they return from the military. And a guarantee that all benefits promised are delivered, whether that's to the soldier or to the soldier's family. You promise me that and say, I'll put the funding in the bills and not just give me lip service, but say, yep, here it is. I'm going to put another, you know, $500 billion into the VA program. Okay, now we're talking. Problem is people like talking about how they care about the veterans, but they don't actually like doing it. The VA, you've got some problems. And I don't buy budget restraints and constraints and training issues as valid excuses. This is just the latest example of the VA failing the veterans. We don't, trust me, right now we don't have any other option because no one wants to take taking care of veterans seriously, although we should. So we have to clean this up. I appreciate the fact that they are really willing to acknowledge they made some mistakes, but I will say that if we don't start funding the VA and training the VA correctly and making sure what is supposed to be one of the organizations that is supposed to be dotting I's and crossing T's is doing that, well, then we're going to continue to have problems. One quick final note here before we get to the bottom of the hour break. I did want to mention Minneapolis today is voting on plans what to do with that homeless encampment over on Cedar and Hiawatha in that area. And the reality is that, once again, this is not going to be an easy solution. But the biggest mistake would be to ignore this problem, because that's not, I mean, there are veterans in there. I will make, I have zero doubt there are probably homeless veterans in that encampment. You're not going to solve this problem by ignoring it, nor are you going to solve this problem by arresting these people or sending a bulldozer through as a tough guy getting tough on homelessness issue. What you need to do is go through one of these plans. And I get it. There are going to be some homeless people that don't want to leave. I get it. There are going to be, no matter where you place the homeless, there are going to be some people who are going to say, no, don't put them here. The reality is tough topics, tough issues require tough decisions. Minneapolis, it's time to start doing the right thing. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll get into the clown car carnival ride that is the Senate Judiciary Committee and this entire mess when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running October 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have a chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 300 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 30 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know, I purchase my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna. But it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit FerndaleMarket.com.
I like when the listeners back me up. Lisa, you've been very consistent, Matt. I know because I listen daily. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciated. You can watch the show if you like. Like Lisa is, she's watching on Facebook. You can go to Facebook, AM 950 Radio on Facebook, and there you go. You can watch the show.
I don't think Lisa's missed a show, has she?
I don't think
watching.
She has.
Yeah.
Lori, Lisa, there are a few people out there that are there every day, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I really do. And yeah, as the show gets bigger and bigger, which it is, it's strange. I don't know why. I sounded like Kirk there, but it's strange, Spock. What's going on here?
You should just do your interview with Stein in that voice and see if he picks up. Don't tell him.
It's bad enough that I'm talking with my normal voice here. I mean, didn't you hear me do the ta-das earlier? No, but I appreciate that. There's a lot of ways you can get the show. We have us on iTunes. You can listen to us on iTunes. We encourage you to do it. You can do a podcast. It's there. You can go. We got tons of stuff on SoundCloud, including we break down some of the special segments that we do. All the Democrats of the Day segments are on there. A lot of the special interviews that we do, they're all broken down.
By the way, give a 5-star review as well on iTunes. That's how we even boost the show even more.
Ooh, yeah, 5-star reviews. We like that. I'll be your friend. I will. Then, of course, Android, all the phones you can get this. It's what the hip kids do. You can find it, am950radio.com, if you need any more information about it. And we have links, by the way, on am950radio.com. We have links to everything. So if you want to do the iTunes, just go there. SoundCloud, we have links there as well. So just go over there and check that out at the webpage. Programming brought to you by eatlocalminnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week, Victor's 1959 Cafe, one of our favorite places. Really, really do love that place. Fantastic Cuban food, and if you've not had it, it is sensational. You'll be floored at how good the food is. Great breakfast, great lunch, great dinner. It's 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis. It's Victor's 1959 Cafe, the eatlocalminnesota.com Restaurant of the Week. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. One quick little final note here I will say in regards to that. I'm not saying it's easy. And I'm not saying, like I said, there are going to be some people that no matter what the solution is, they're not going to like it. But in Minneapolis, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but we have very cold winters, and you cannot have a homeless encampment out there for their own health and well-being, for goodness sakes. We need to find a solution here before the snow starts to fly. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul. That's what it is. You can find it there. TotallyIowa.com. iWatch.org is the public service show that he does. And of course, you can listen to him on KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. And Jeff Stein joining us. Hi, Jeff.
You'll cut that out when we actually air this segment, right?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, it's a live show. You might as well just take it as it goes. We were stuttering like Kavanaugh there for a second. Thank you.
So are you saying that it gets cold in Minnesota in the winter? Make sure I understand.
News alert. Get Edward R. in here. It is a news alert. It is. Well, we have this, and I don't know how much coverage has been down there. We have this growing homeless community over on Hiawatha and Cedar Avenue, and I will give Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, and the city council kudos. They're trying to find a solution here, and they're trying to find a place they can move the homeless so that they're not going to be out exposed to the weather, and they can have health checks and stuff like that. But like it says, when you're dealing with an issue like this, there's always going to be a lot of tough choices, and I'm kind of imploring them, you have to make these tough choices because you can't just ignore this problem, not with winter coming.
You can't ignore the problem. But people insist on ignoring the problem. And look at the situation where you used to live in Ames, Iowa. Mm-hmm. The story of the collegiate golfer who was killed by a homeless man who came from the homeless encampment just off the golf course. Those facts, the fact that he was homeless, the man who has been charged with first-degree murder and where he lived, that's not in dispute. And he may even have admitted to the killing. But the point of it is, there were more people in Ames who said, well, we don't have a homeless encampment in Ames. What are you talking about? It was the thing that everyone ignored because it wasn't polite and pleasant. And at least now, heaven forbid, because of this reason, but because they now at least know this exists. Mm-hmm. You know, good common folks who have tried to ignore it or maybe just out of blissful ignorance didn't know. Well, now they understand there is not just an issue in homeless people, but a problem because of the inability of some of these people to care for themselves. And as a good society, we need to do something.
Absolutely.
And a murder. It took a murder for them to see this. And so, again, common issue, and everyone just needs the information.
And regardless of where you live, you know, this is considered to be usually an issue that's a major metropolitan issue. It's not. There are homeless people everywhere, small towns, big cities. It is something that if we don't have an aggressive plan, and I got to give, did you ever read that story out of Salt Lake City? They're giving that the small apartments to the homeless and actually having a tremendous success ratio there, and it was actually far more cost efficient.
Well, what do you know? Proactively taking care of something. I mean, it's the same problem that we've had, not to open this can of worms, with healthcare. Preventive maintenance and tests, if they had been covered by past insurance, would have led to not only people being healthier, but for the system being far more solvent because we were able to do detection early of things as opposed to treating them after the fact.
Amen. Absolutely. Let's get in. We got a mess to get into here. We have to get into with the Kavanaugh stuff. All right. Mm-hmm. Here is the problem that the Republicans and Grassley himself are creating for themselves, is that the action, the implication that either one of any of these allegations, the Dr. Ford, the Deborah Ramirez, and the Julia Swetnick, her allegation today, which through Avenatti, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, that all of them, they're not only saying that this stuff happened, but in the case of Ramirez, this apparently was a well-known story for years, and she didn't come forward until she was encouraged to come forward by people who knew about the story. They're not returning her phone calls. The Avenatti has said, I believe, I'm not mistaken, didn't he come out with a signed declaration from Swetnick? So basically, she's going on legal terms that this did happen.
But now, who's not returning her calls?
The GOP, the Senate GOP, are refusing to return Ramirez's calls. Her lawyer was on, I think it was MSNBC this morning, stating that they have tried to get in touch with the Senate GOP, specifically the Judiciary Committee, and they will not return any of their calls.
Okay, well, I think there is the update. And it was, we will invest. Here's what I have heard. All right. After Avenatti made his declaration, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Grassley, opened the door to continuing the hearing set for tomorrow, or indicating that they might meet tomorrow to talk about Dr. Ford's allegations, but that might not be the end of it, and said specifically that they were reaching out to hear the story. And so it may have been a stupid protocol sort of thing. Like you have to formally, I don't know, I don't want to say, but here's what is true. What is true is now Grassley is getting all sort of static for saying, okay, we may have to continue this beyond Thursday, and saying very publicly that they are going to hear what this new person has to say. And there was another Republican, and now I don't recall who said, I don't care who the attorney is representing her. We need to hear, you know, in other words, you can't dismiss it because it's Avenatti and because he's been demonized by those on the right, who was actually saying, we need to hear this. And so it is a situation, and you know, I said this last week, Merrick Garland should have had a hearing.
Yes.
Half of what the GOP is getting now in terms of any gamesmanship by Democrats, not victims, be very clear, they brought it on themselves by the gamesmanship of 2 years ago.
Well, okay. And can we stop on that? Because I want to just bring this point up. You are right. And Jeff has been the only person bringing up the point that really the threats of the nuclear option were one thing. To basically do what they did with Merrick Garland was wrong. But then this new standard that they are putting forward with Kavanaugh, that they're not releasing all of his documentation, that they are limiting the scope of the investigations into his background, they're limiting the questions, they're limiting the time. And then when you have credible witnesses, I mean, Dr. Ford is a credible witness, and there is definitely enough, I mean, 4 sworn affidavits on her case alone that basically back up her story. there is a credible witness. When you get to the point where when credible witnesses are saying, I would like my time in to speak to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and regardless of where they're at now, to go through this dog and pony show of, no, we're not going to do it, just we're going to vote on Friday no matter what. And I think this is bad standard here.
Okay, but now the Friday thing. I don't disagree with very much of what you said, but here is one thing, and it's and I'll call it stupid Senate rules. Okay, it's not a technical legal phrase. Stupid Senate rules. There has to be a certain day's notice before there's a vote. Now there has been, and I frankly think that this is wishful thinking whipped up by folks on the right. But let's just play this out. There are a lot of people who say, you know, I don't think she's going to show up. She isn't going to show up. She's talking about all of these demands that she had, whatever. So what they're thinking is, if they set the vote that way, let's say she decides not to show up for whatever reason, she does not testify, then they can say, okay, we've been played, here's the vote. And they had to give a certain number of days notice. There is no way on earth there will be a vote Friday unless, and I don't expect this, one of two things happens. One, she does not show up to testify, and even then, I still think there won't be a vote. Or if she shows up and is not in any way credible, and he is, then maybe there will be a vote. The Friday thing was just the stunt to make sure that there wasn't another delay. But in terms of these people who so again, we're pretty much in sync on this. I think the individuals who are coming forward need to be heard. And they need to be heard in the proper forum and time frame and everything else. I don't want to hear a thing about it was 37 years ago. Anyone who has studied victimization for 5 minutes will tell you that people who are subjected to a traumatic event in their lives report at different times for different reasons, and it's not vindictiveness. And the fact that, and again, it looks bad because of what some of the Democrats have been doing. But again, who started it?
Well,
but,
and it looks right. Bad. It does look bad, though. Because she's coming forward as he's being nominated as the Supreme Court justice. So it's easy to blame it as, oh, it's the spotlight. She's just basically bringing this up now. Well, of course she's bringing this up now. She doesn't want to see a guy on the Supreme Court.
And that's the whole point. Exactly. No, I don't disagree a bit. And for again, it looks like it's a choreographed deal for one person to come up at the last minute, and then they delay a little bit for a hearing, and then another, and then there's a delay, and a third. Okay. That does look hinky because of some of the people who are taking advantage of these victims. And that is double victimization, so that's a pox on all your houses thing. But as far as the women are concerned, the fact that number two and number three come forward after number one does, not only does not mean necessarily that it's a conspiracy, it may in fact prove the fact that victims only feel emboldened enough to take back their power when someone starts it. And so if, in fact, Dr. Ford is accurate in what she believes happened, as in she was assaulted by Kavanaugh. And again, I qualify it because I haven't heard any of firsthand testimony. Okay, so I'm just qualifying. If everything she says is true, well, it should not be any surprise that someone else hearing that story could say, you know what, that happened to me, or something similar happened to me, or a third thing happened. Now, I am not saying that I automatically believe any of them, but what I am saying is you cannot simply dismiss it, as I've heard some do, by saying, well, why didn't they come forward sooner?
Or she's a drunk in regards to Ramirez. The narrative is, oh, she was a drunk, so this doesn't count. I mean, that's a really bad attempt at dismissing.
Well, what it is doing is suggesting that people are not responsible for their actions. And to simply say, she got drunk, and any she, I'm not being specific here. She got drunk, so it's her fault. Or he got drunk, therefore he's not responsible. You cannot play that game.
Nope.
And so The one thing I'll say about my neighbor down the street, Grassley, I mean, he lives a county away. He's my neighbor down the street. I truly believe that the Merrick Garland situation was out of character for him. I think I told you on the air he would get a hearing because Grassley was a fair individual. And I still believe him to be. Is he a partisan? Yes, he is. But I also believe he has a sense of decency and fairness. I also believe that he is being so careful on this because he has daughters and granddaughters and great-granddaughters. And he is, I think, generally a decent human being, although you may disagree with his political feelings. And so the people on the right are just killing him. You know, I mean, you hear these people who say, hey, he's 85 years old, he can't do any of this, et cetera, et cetera. Just because he's not rushing to have a vote before hearings doesn't mean that he's the horrible person. I mean, this I don't know. I think last week I said the Democrats had totally just run rings around the Republicans from a political standpoint in terms of the timing. And again, that has nothing to do with the credibility of the allegations, just about the political timing. Okay, so if in fact the Republicans got played, what do? And to me, the only thing you can do is say, okay, you got us on this one, so now let's do the hearings. He's already not going to be there for the first Monday of October, and now let's just see how this plays out. But here's one thing that I think we are missing, in addition to the victimization of these women, double victimization, is the fact that there are allegations. You first have to hear the allegations and determine if they're credible. Then you have to determine if he was the one involved. That's part of the credible, right? So let's say you determine that every one of these allegations, even one of the three, I'll give you a 333 batting average. One of the three is credible and he's involved. Is that a disqualifier? That's the second point. But we are so far from either of those. And that's why I want to hear a hearing tomorrow. I want there to be a hearing tomorrow on at least one of these three, and we see what we have.
And if they go after her too harshly, this is a minefield for the Republicans in regards to just there's very few ways that they can look good. And I personally think Chuck Grassley's doing a crap job. I would like to see him actually hold the same standards that he holds to Democratic nominees as he holds to Republican nominees, and he's not even anywhere close. So his inconsistency is glaring.
Because I am interested in hearing that view. I think he's trying to hear all sides, but in what way being unfair?
I think that if this was an Obama nominee and that first nomination came on out, he would basically say, we're going to put forward an immediate investigation. I'm calling the FBI. I'm going to have a full investigation. I want any person that saw this or heard of this, I want them in front of my committee. We'll give every one of them time. And right now, he's giving her about an hour tomorrow, Kavanaugh chance to rebuttal, and they've got a vote planned for Friday. So there's a definitive lack of consistency. We got to take a break, though. We got to try to get to Rose Stein tomorrow too. Jeff Stein joining us right now. We'll talk about the Assistant Attorney General possibly getting canned tomorrow as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
It's grilling season and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili garlic or jalapeno olive oil and marinate beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they are paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you didn't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Lots of good things come in threes, like three-pointers, a triple scoop ice cream cone, and Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's triple savings sale. Just install a new furnace and AC this September and you'll triple your savings to the tune of $2,700. That's right. Get rebates and other discounts for a total of $2,700 in savings. Learn more about Standard's triple savings sale at standardheatingdeals.com. That's standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, two final quick points. We've got about a minute total on each one of these. First of all, your thoughts on the Senate Judiciary Committee themselves not questioning Dr. Ford, but bringing in this prosecutor out of Arizona to do it for them.
As I recall, there had been a request by Dr. Ford's lawyers saying that they did not want the senators, or there was something about old white guy senators who are badgering this woman. And so there's... I think the Senate could do just fine, but I also think this was an appointment that was made to some degree because that had been kicked around on the left. But, I mean, we elect these people to do a job, do the job.
I agree with that one. 54% of Republicans, 54% of Republicans state even if all the allegations were true, they would still like to see him on the Supreme Court. This is a mess for the Republicans as you're running into November.
Well, sure it is. And that's why I said you have to hear the allegations and determine if, in fact, he was involved. Can you chalk it up to, and the phrase that people use is youthful indiscretion. Well, assaulting another person is not an indiscretion. But the idea is if that all happened during a compressed period of time and he has been clear, if you will, since then, is it a disqualifier? I think you get one, maybe you can get around it. Three? And each one of these allegations is, to me, more severe. I don't know how. I don't know how you can go with it.
The Rod Rosenstein meets with Trump tomorrow, and the expectation is he's either resigning or he's fired tomorrow. You're more legal knowledge than I am. It sounded like he was trying to resign, or at least the option of resigning. If he resigns, they can't call him to testify against Trump. But it almost sounds like Trump wants to fire him to be the tough guy, which would then set him up for Rod Rosenstein to be called to testify against him. What's your thoughts on that whole thing?
Interesting. Rosenstein apparently called the meeting for tomorrow. Now, I don't know the telephone call. Rosenstein was called to the White House by the chief of staff, John Kelly. Then the president got involved by telephone, and Rosenstein asked to meet. Now, I find it interesting that it's on Thursday, because if Trump wants to fire him, he's doing it competing with Kavanaugh in the headlines. When has this president ever done something in order to knock something off the front page? Oh, wait, multiple times. Okay, and so that's why I think Rosenstein is saying, well, you know what? I'll just quit. I mean, it's a decent thing to do to offer your resignation if, in fact, you feel that you no longer have the president's confidence, et cetera, et cetera. But there might be something about this president who literally wants to reenact a scene from The Apprentice.
Well, is Rosenstein correct that if he gets fired versus resign, that basically they can force him to testify if he gets fired?
My view is they can force him to testify regardless. If he's an employee of the department, then there are certain confidentiality things that he's bound by. But when he's no longer an employee, that was why the Strzok and Page hearings were so different. She was no longer an employee. She no longer had the protection of the department.
He is going to start a cyclone of sewage tomorrow, because that's what he does. He basically lights the sky on fire and then hides in the flames. And that's who he is.
Can you make T-shirts with that? Cyclone of sewage.
I like that, too.
In a lot of places you've lived.
Jeff Stein, once again, books and comic good books, totallyiowa.com, iowawatch.org. Thank you, Jeff. We'll spotlight this one. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Bless you, gentlemen. See you.
Take care. Doug's up next. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see you.